You're listening to Tassie Encounters Moments on Faith FM. We're coming to you from Tasmania, right across Australia. Each weekday on Tassie Encounters, you can hear what the Bible says about past, current and future events. You can learn how to study the Bible more effectively. You can get to know who God is, why we're here and where we're going. And you can experience personal encounters with Jesus. I'm your host, Jason Cook, and David Leo joins us again in the studio as we've been talking about this week, the topic of church. Is it relevant?
Mm.
And we've been through a bit of a book review, sort of a book review. You gave some feedback on what you got out of that book a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I guess in a way that's a bit of an assessment on where the church is at in
that's
our,
right.
in
that's
our Western societies.
Yep.
Then we looked yesterday at teaching and fellowship, one of the purposes of church, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And
two of the purposes.
Two of the purposes. we used Acts 2 verse 42 as our launch verse, which has four key elements mm-hmm. to it, the first being teaching and fellowship, and the next being sharing in meals and prayer, which we're going to have a look at today.
Mm-hmm.
So today we've titled it Breaking Bread and Prayer.
Yep.
Interesting. Breaking bread.
Breaking bread. Yeah, it's an interesting way of saying it. You know, often when you hear that in the Christian circles, that's a jargon for we're going to crack open the Bible. You know, we're going to break some bread. But even though that's a great euphemism to read into this text, it's literally talking about having a meal together.
Hmm.
And having a meal together.
Do you know what it brings in my mind? In the rules of how to eat properly. I don't even know what
etiquette,
it's called.
The etiquette
of you know, dinner,
working outside
dinner behavior.
Yeah.
Is that you're not meant to cut your bread roll with a knife. You're meant to break it with your fingers, I think.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Meant to break it open.
I've had a total of
two lessons. So I'm wondering if that's where it comes from, breaking bread.
I've had a total of two lessons of etiquette training at they were both school excursions. And I remember
I could well be very wrong in this, but if you know, text me in.
I don't know.
Are you meant to break your bread roll with your fingers, or are you meant to get a knife and cut it open?
Right. That's interesting. But, you know, obviously, if they were having a meal together, they had to have it at somebody's house, right?
Mm.
And so one of the great things about sharing meals, I don't know about you, Jason, if I was to ask you, do you enjoy hosting guests or do you enjoy being the guest when it comes to sharing a meal?
That's a good point. I guess that there's a bit of stress involved with hosting
yep.
because you've got to prepare everything and you're worried about whether they're going to like the food you've prepared and
yeah.
things like that. So it adds a little bit of pressure. But it probably depends on how well you know the person as well.
I think that's a good point.
I think the closer you are to somebody, the more enjoyable it can be in terms of relaxing and, you know each other, you know what you like, you know.
Yes, yes.
You know they'll accept you even if you muck something up.
That's interesting. You know, I should put a, what's the word? A tag onto that question, because more often than not now, people meet at a neutral ground.
At a restaurant, a cafe, or whatever. Yeah.
That's the common thing. But I have to say that my wife and I are pretty old school in that way. And as inconvenient as it is, we really do enjoy hosting. My wife makes a very strong point that she's happy to cook the meals and prepare the meals and whatnot, but I've got to do the talking. You know, she will sit there and nod and answer any questions, but I'm to make sure the flow of conversation is part and parcel of.
So this is interesting. See, I'd be very comfortable with that.
Yep.
But when we have people over, my wife wants help in the kitchen.
Right. So,
because she gets stressed about not getting everything done and
in time,
you know,
right.
things taking too long and whatever. So she likes my help physically in the kitchen to help prepare the food and, you know, take the nibbles and drinks around and
I hear what you're saying.
Well, I'd be very comfortable just sit on the couch and chat.
You know, it's funny. It's funny you say that. Like, I'm going off track a bit. My wife, when I turned 30, she prepared a surprise birthday party. One of the best memories I ever had. And she said later on that, you know, all the helpers and everything, because there was lots that was done. But she said, man, I couldn't wait for you to get there just to start the conversations and whatnot. She said, I was highly strung just trying to keep it. I was like, it's okay to be silent. You know, like the crew that was helping her out, they were all just like her. So they would have been happy not having.
She's less of a talker.
Absolutely. More of a doer. Yeah, that's definitely her. But when it comes to hosting, I think one of the big things that I like is people get to see what me and my family look like in my home. You know, it's not perfect. You know, like we try and train our kids. This is how you serve the people when they get there. But, you know, every now and then they break out in an argument in the background. You know, you hear something going on. They drop a dish or something. You know, there's always something happening. Or I've got to remind somebody, hey, you're on dishes. And they get to see that, oh, this is the reality of it. And so when it came to breaking bread, they got together for meals. And there was a traditional way of how the Jewish people ate back then. We won't get into the details. But they would lay around a table, and they would share a meal. Very simple meal.
It was
meal.
Low, wasn't it?
It was
they
low.
Sort of recline.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. Yeah, it was like a...
a low table.
Yeah, it was like you're laying on your side, and you support yourself by your elbow, and you use your other hand to... And the next person has basically had their...
Their feet?
nearly their half their body across, you know, and that's how they lay on the table and chit-chat, you know, and they broke bread. And the amazing thing that happens here, when you think about Jesus teaching hospitality, one of the most old school, probably the father of hospitality that we can learn from, is Abraham. And we can read in Hebrews 13, verses 1 and 2, what it says in the Bible about Abraham.
If this is the verse that you're referring to, it says, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it.
Yeah.
So that's pointing back to Abraham. What about Lot as well? Because the angels went down to Lot as well.
That's right. Mm. That's right. And you read the story of Abraham, and I love the imagery. It says that he saw these men from afar off, and then he got up and told everyone, "Hey, get ready. We're gonna entertain these guests. They're coming our way." And it just goes to show that Abraham had a custom of receiving guests and hosting them.
Mm.
You know, and Abraham was one of the greatest evangelists as well. When people learned who Abraham's God was. And so hospitality throughout the ages, as we go through and we read through the Bible, it's a big deal. You know, it gets to the point of when somebody is a host, I mean, imagine we had to do this, they would provide water, you know, and a towel to have their feet washed from all the dust in the sandals, and then, you know, wash their feet, have their hands washed before they have a meal, you know, and sit down. So there was a lot of these things that were happening, and hospitality is a big deal. In fact, Romans 13, I can't remember exactly the verse, but it says, practice hospitality. It's basically an apostle's teaching. Practice hospitality. So they were sitting around.
It's actually one of the gifts as well, like when it talks about
the gifts. Oh, yes, it is too. Yeah.
So some people seem to have more of that ability and that
than others.
Yeah.
So these people that opened their homes, they were definitely in the Acts 2 verse 42 allowed their homes to be places where they could share meals. And here's the amazing thing, right? I believe when you go to a lot of 13s that we're dealing with right now, we just say Romans 13,
Hebrews
13, and then John 13.
Let's go there.
Jesus has his last meal with his disciples, right? And he does something incredibly bizarre in John 13. He does the common tradition of the washing of the feet. That's where it starts, you know. But they're not there's no host there, so they're looking at each other like, well,
who's going to do the washing.
Who's going to do it, right?
And normally that would be done by a servant, I assume.
That's right. Mm. And Jesus takes that place.
Mm.
You know, and they're starting to feel bad. Oh, no, that shouldn't be you. You're the teacher. You know, we should be doing this to you. And, you know, Jesus puts them in the place and says, no, I'll be doing this. So there's a memorable event they'll never forget. And then they sit around to do their, have their meal, the breaking of bread as they usually do. And, so Jesus is playing host, right? And there's an amazing thing here, right? I'll say it now. I'll drop it now. So Jesus' incarnational ministry, right? He teaches us to be hospitable. We receive Jesus. We do a pretty bad job of receiving Jesus as the Lord and Savior, the creator of the universe. But he's trying to teach us. This is how you receive people. It's inconvenient. You know, I mean, look at the story in Mark 2 where four friends bring their friend to Jesus and somebody loses their roof, you know, because they want him to meet Jesus Christ. Mm. It's inconvenient to be hospitable, right?
Mm.
And the whole lesson Jesus is trying to teach is you've learned what this is like to be inconvenienced, right, in order to receive people in your homes. Jesus has been here. He is gone. And Jesus said in John 14 that I go to
prepare
a place for you. And so we're learning how to be the hosts so that we can be ready to accept when Jesus says, come, I want you to come to my house, that we're ready to go, yep, I'll do that. You know, you think of the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is waiting for Jesus. He has no hope that Jesus will notice him.
Yeah.
Right? He thinks he's just a short dude that Jesus is not going to see. He's feeling guilty. He needs to release this burden. And he goes on top of a tree, and there you go. Jesus looks up into the tree, and Jesus says something to him that he can you.
I've got it here. Yeah.
If you could read that, please.
I just have to find it. Here it is. Here in verse 6, I think it says Zacchaeus.
Luke 19. Yep.
Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement. But interestingly, I think we've got to go back to the verse before when Jesus came by. He looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today.
What an interesting thing to say, right?
Yeah.
So imagine Zacchaeus, his thought. Now I'm taking a lot of poetic justice here. I could be totally off. I'm just trying to imagine how Zacchaeus would have felt. He might have entertained the thought, if I talk to Jesus, I'll invite him to my home, but he'll never come to my home. And to hear the words, I must come to your house, you know, and then the very next verse, he accepted him with joy and excitement. And the story goes on that, Jesus comes to his home. You know, he says, I'm in your home, whether it's messy or whatnot, with the guilt that you're feeling. You know, and then when Jesus is in his home, Zacchaeus feels comfortable to share with him, hey, I've been carrying this burden. I've been a really bad guy, you know, and shares it with Jesus. And then Jesus' response in 9:9, can you read that? It
says, Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm.
His hospitality led him to salvation, and Jesus coming into a home means salvation is in your home. You know, the act of Zacchaeus. And so the role of Jesus to teach us hospitality is to say then, when it's time for you to come to my home, you must come to my home. You must be a guest in my home. This is where it's going. Because otherwise, if we don't practice that, we're going to be like, I'm not worth it. I'm not worth the effort. You know, I don't know why you do this and whatnot. But Jesus is teaching us, hey, ministry is inconvenient. And he does this thing in John 13. We're talking about the Last Supper, right? He washes their feet. They sit around. And then he says, see this bread? They're like, yeah, that's normal bread. He goes, I want you to think of it as the body of my body being broken. They're, what? Breaks the bread. See this wine? I want you to remember this is the blood. From that point on, those disciples that were there, every time there was bread and wine in the room, their mind just went back to, man, Jesus died for us.
Mm.
Jesus, man, there were so many things that we didn't understand. You know, there's a story in Luke 24. In Luke 24, where the disciples, they're really sad. Jesus has died on the cross, and they don't know why. And they end up having the stranger walk with them. And the stranger's like, well, why are you guys sad? Oh, well, we followed Jesus. We thought he was the Messiah and blah, blah, blah. And this person responds and breaks down from the Old Testament right up to the time that Jesus died. And they realize, wow, that makes a lot of sense. The Bible says there was fire in their hearts. And they invite Jesus. They say, hey, why don't you come eat with us? And they didn't know who he was the whole time. And do you know what the Bible says when they recognize them? When they recognize them?
I don't know.
When he broke bread.
Ah, yeah.
The moment he broke bread, they went, whoa, it's Jesus. And then he disappeared. And then they went back to tell all the other disciples, hey, everything Jesus said is happening. It's happening exactly how he said. And, you know, that breaking of bread, Jesus had made that moment of a meal so important that it was now every time they took nourishment, they thought about Jesus Christ. In fact, that's the reminder of us every time we go, oh, say grace. It's the reminder to us, this food is because of Jesus Christ. You know, he's the provider. He's the one that died on the cross and did this and that and the other. And hey, this is,
I've found the verse there. It says in verse 30 and 31 of Luke chapter 24, as they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing, isn't it? And so it shows the importance of hospitality. I don't think we even jumped into prayer, did we?
We're going to have to cover that tomorrow.
Yeah. And so when it comes to hospitality, don't be afraid to host and don't be afraid to be a guest. But the importance of fellowship is so, so important, as we talked yesterday. But when it comes to the breaking of bread, not only is it the physical breaking of bread, of having a meal together, the best conversations come over a meal. You know, having time with friends, I mean, if anyone's still dating out there and spending time with somebody to find out more about them, usually it's done over a meal. You know, those are the best times to learn about somebody and they learn about you. But when it comes to, we have a thing called church luncheon, which is really, really awesome, isn't it? That's a great place to get to know our church members and get to know their family. In fact, I met a person yesterday at Margate. I was at the Margate pantry. And I said, what's your story? I haven't seen you around before. He goes, oh, I've been coming here for a few months. Now I came down from the mainland for university. I said, well, what brought you here? He said, I saw the sign outside the church and I thought, I'll come here this Saturday morning. So that's what he did. And he's been coming ever since. That's so, amazing. Well, yeah. And I bring that story up because he said, I love the fellowship here. I love the people who accepted me in as part of the family. I think that's what you want to hear. That's what you want to hear. And so when it comes to communion as well, really quickly, sorry, I know we're out of time, Jason. When it comes to communion, one of the important things about communion is we practice it about once a quarter because we don't want it to be familiarity breeds contempt. Mm. Right? So we try and make it very special as a church. But you can't do it as an individual. Communion is not meant to be something you do solo. You do it as one or two or a group of three or more in a congregation. But it is in remembrance of Jesus who died, who rose, and promised to return.
Absolutely. Do stay tuned for our book offer.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
I've called it a book, but it's really just a Bible study guide, a smaller Bible study guide. It's just simply called Church. Sometimes we can think that church is boring and irrelevant. But church is meant to be a community of people who share their faith, hope, and love of Jesus. The Bible uses a number of pictures to describe what church is like. We've been having a look at some of that this week. So that is our offer, free offer. Text us in TEM74 to 0488-880891. That's TEM74. Text it into 0488-880891. Tomorrow we'll cover the topic of prayer and also have a look at how we are doing as a church. If you currently attend a church, there'll be some good things to challenge our ideas and thoughts there. So do tune in tomorrow. May you encounter Jesus more today as we finish up with this beautiful song by Chris Rice, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do your friends despise, forsake you? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield you. You will find a solace there. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Everything to God in prayer. Everything to God in prayer.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.